This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. A handful of cities around Illinois are considering or have already passed measures to install, or have just already installed, automated license plate readers, also known as ALPRs. Freeport Police in the northern part of the state will soon use them, and the city of Danville in eastern Illinois has already approved the purchase of 30 license plate readers. Both Champaign and Urbana are also considering the technology with the hope that it will deter the increasing number of shootings there by helping to identify vehicles fleeing the scene. But the technology also raises surveillance concerns. In San Diego, for example, an investigation found that police were using ALPRs to crack down on protesters. And an AP investigation from 2016 found that some officers in other parts of the country were using the license plate reader technology to spy on their exes. In Champaign-Urbana, where the technology was debated in a public forum last week, opponents argued it would do little to address the root causes of gun violence. They also say the technology is prone to error, leading to encounters with law enforcement that disproportionately affect Black and brown communities. We're joined now by Kadeen Bennett, the Director of Advocacy and Intergovernmental Affairs with the ACLU of Illinois. Kadeen, welcome back to The 21st. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, and thanks for the invite.
I'd also like to welcome Gus Wood, a professor in the School of Labor and Employment Relations at the U of I, also an organizer with the Ubuntu Project of Champaign-Urbana, which has been outspoken against implementing these license plate readers there. Gus, welcome to The 21st to you as well.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
I should also mention we did reach out to several people who are in favor of these license plate readers, but they all either declined our request to come on the show or did not respond. We will still have some tape we can play from that side of the argument a little later on. Listeners, we also want to hear from you. Do you live in a community that's considering these ALPRs, these automatic license plate readers? Would it make you feel safer, or do you have some concerns about them? You can join our conversation at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Or you can tweet us at 21st Show, at 21st Show. So, Kadeen, can you just begin by describing how these devices actually work?
Yeah, so automatic license plate readers, or ALPRs, they're high-speed computer control camera systems that are typically mounted on street poles or streetlights or highway overpasses. Sometimes they're mounted on mobile trainers or attached to police cars. And they collect license plate numbers and location data, along with the exact date and time the license plate was encountered by these readers. And some systems are now able to capture the make and model of vehicles. And they collect thousands of plates per minute. And the data, which can include photographs of the vehicle, as well as its immediate surroundings, and sometimes even its drivers and passengers and people getting in and out of that vehicle, is then uploaded to a central server. So while the data generally doesn't include the driver's license names, then law enforcement officers can use other databases to connect individual names with their license plate numbers.
Right. If your license plate's ABC123, the company that takes the picture might not know it, but they can certainly look that up from the Secretary of State Illinois. Okay. Gus, what was your reaction when you heard that both Champaign and Urbana were considering installing this technology?
It was a bit shocking considering the lack of data on the instrument's effectiveness. It was more so disappointing because both councils didn't necessarily put out early on that they were going to do this and have town hall meetings. It wasn't until there was a lot of groundswell from the people hearing about this through backhanded channels through our different social organizations that people started to have a lot of questions. So it was shocking in choosing something that has very little data in effectiveness, but also disappointing in the lack of transparency with the communities, the Black and brown working class communities, that these would be disproportionately affected.
All right. I want to remind listeners, we're talking about automated license plate readers. We do have to take a break here for our member stations. 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation. There are a number of communities around Illinois. Freeport is going to be using them soon. Danville has already approved purchasing these automatic license plate reader cameras, which basically create databases of where vehicles were at a given time. And Champaign and Urbana are also considering the technology. Other communities, I know Springfield has had this for a while. If you want to join our conversation to talk about this, 800-222-9455 is the number to call. We're going to continue after a short break. You're listening to The 21st. Stay with us. Welcome back to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. If you're just tuning in, we're spending the rest of the show today talking about automated license plate readers. I am going to get that correct by the end of the show. ALPRs. These are cameras controlled by the police. They can be mounted on light poles or buildings. They can be mounted on police vehicles, highway overpasses, and they basically create a database of vehicles that are passing by a certain point or that the police vehicle passes by, and which police can later go in and look up when was a car at a given location. And as we heard earlier, it can even sometimes capture images of people getting into those vehicles. This is being technology that's either been installed in some communities or is being considered or in the process of being installed in a number of communities around Illinois, including Freeport in the northern part of the state, Danville in eastern Illinois. It's under consideration in Champaign and Urbana. Proponents there say that they're hoping it will deter the increasing number of shootings, but there are a lot of privacy and surveillance concerns. And to talk about that, we are speaking with Kadeen Bennett from the ACLU of Illinois and Gus Wood, who's a professor in the School of Labor and Employment Relations at U of I and also an organizer with the Ubuntu Project of Champaign-Urbana. That word means humanity. And 800-222-9455 is the number if you want to join our conversation, 800-222-9455. Kadeen, can you talk about what happens with the data with these cameras? Are these private companies collecting it? Is it stored in the cloud? What safeguards are there? What do we know about what happens once these images are snapped?
So it depends. So in some cases, there are private companies who basically approach law enforcement agencies to say, we have this new tool. It's great. It's wonderful. We want you to use it. So they may provide the equipment to those law enforcement agencies. In some cases, there is a sharing relationship with those private companies and the law enforcement entities. There are times where it's limited to law enforcement and other law enforcement agencies. So in Illinois, we have the LEED system here. Whenever we are hearing of folks who are contemplating using this technology, we have a historical concern for all of the reasons you mentioned. This can paint a very intimate portrait of a driver's life. It can be used to track where people are going, like health centers or places of worship. We have an example in New York where police officers drove down a street and recorded all of the license plate numbers of everyone near that mosque. So they collect this information, it goes into a database system, either that's law enforcement controlled or it's also shared with private actors. And so once it's in there, there are some situations where it could be there permanently. There are some situations where it can be used to see if there's a hit, and if there is not a hit, so if it's not a license plate that was identified for a particular purpose, so a stolen car or there's an arrest warrant pending, then in some cases, and the ideal is that information, if it's not a hit, would be deleted. But we see in more and more states and counties that they're keeping that data for a long period of time, and they're keeping it for just in case information. And that raises a lot of red flags, because once you have that data there, then it becomes really a space where some people use it for purposes that we as citizens don't expect. So for example, and you mentioned this briefly, we've heard of police officers using databases to search their romantic interests. They're using it in a case in Washington, D.C., an officer pled guilty to extortion after looking up the plates of vehicles near a gay bar and blackmailing the vehicle owners. So once it's stored in that database, unless there's really strong protections in place, there is the potential for abuse.
Kadeen, how does this differ from the other ways that we are tracked in everyday life, right? If you drive around the Chicago area, there's a good chance you have one of those iPass toll road units. And I know I've seen stories about divorce attorneys, for example, using some of that data. You know, there's red light cameras in different parts of the state. We all carry these things that we insist on calling phones still that are really computers and GPS tracking devices in our pockets. How does this differ? And why is it of a maybe a different degree of concern, if it is, to the ACLU?
I think, well, as you probably know from conversations with us throughout the years, we're always concerned about the ability for us to be tracked and for us to be tracked by law enforcement. But I think one of the differences is that these are license plate readers. We all, if you're driving a car, you have to have a license plate. I can choose whether or not I have an iPass. I can choose whether or not I have the location tracking on my phone. Those are things that I have more control over. But I think with license plates, the fact that you're able, and especially in places where there are a lot of these ALPRs, it's not an option for you to take your license plate off. And then the amount of plate information that could be collected and shared, I think that's part of the concern that we have. And especially when you're looking at over-surveillance in communities of color, I think the idea that everybody's license plate could be not just tracked, but kept in a database and searched to build that full picture of that person, where they're going, who they're hanging out with, is really problematic. And to the point of this can help make communities safer, I guess I would go back to Gus's point of what's the evidence that that's the case? Yeah, you can get this new technology, but what we hear from community folks is that there are issues around where there are some communities that are over-surveilled, but they're under-protected, meaning that there is violence in those communities and there's a frustration that law enforcement, they're not doing the investigative work in order to solve those crimes. And some of it is building community relationships. It's not just buying some new piece of technology that a vendor is purporting to be a magic pill to solve the issue of violence.
Gus, part of the reason that communities are considering these devices is because they argue that crime, especially gun-related crimes, are going up in downstate cities. I want to play some audio from a forum that was held by the NAACP and the city of Urbana.
I am tired of being a prisoner in my own house in my own neighborhood. I am tired not being able to sleep by the door thinking somebody gonna shoot through it. Hallelujah. I am tired of trying to go outside at night and walk my dog, don't know if I'm gonna be hit by a bullet. I am tired of all these people getting killed.
Some of the parents who've lost grandchildren or children are going to church and saying to me that their minister will not hold a funeral because they're afraid of retaliations. Their lives are, they're in prison basically, and they are hurting and they're grieving over their loved ones.
All right, that was Linda Turnbull, who's one of the proposers of the ALPRs in Urbana. Also, Minnie Pearson, who is Champaign County NAACP president, speaking at a forum last Thursday. And thank you to Justin Malone, who's part of Illinois Public Media's student newsroom, for that audio. And I should note, we did reach out to both the NAACP of Champaign County and Linda Turnbull to join this conversation. We did not hear back. But Gus, what do you think? Those license plate readers, could that bring a sense of safety or security to communities where there has been an increase in gun violence?
Absolutely not. I've been doing this kind of research, both as being a person from Black working class neighborhoods in Atlanta, my upbringing, as well as doing my doctorate on this type of surveillance and this type of kind of recolonization of Black people and this type of surveillance that uses it. And the argument is clear, going back 50, 60 years, that increased surveillance and increased police spending in policing has never stopped or reduced crime. It doesn't exist. And in fact, I would argue that it is incredibly disingenuous to offer people, family members of victims of gun violence, these kind of superficialities in terms of like, I'm just going to do something to show you that I'm trying to do something, when in fact, I know for a fact that there's no data to suggest that what I'm attempting to do is effective. And in fact, it actually increases the tensions between the community and the police that lead to many, unfortunately, either deadly or just conflicting encounters between the groups. I mean, they've already all the there should be a problem when there's over 15 different studies on ALPRs that cite their problematic nature and their issues within communities, but yet there's not one study that offers their effectiveness. In fact, at that very town hall you just played the recording from, the person who was selling the ALPRs did not offer one shred of data showing their effectiveness in any part of the country. And so that should let you know that this isn't a serious attempt to deal with a really bad issue that is brought about by, unfortunately, the political economy of the current situation that's leading to more and more violence in communities. If they were serious about it, then they would actually put forth the money and efforts to investigate and study the things that cause more and more violence to erupt, like poverty, lack of jobs, all these other things, et cetera. But instead, you're going to slap some cameras on some poles that are actually going to be facing inside the Black community, where most of the shootings are not actually even occurring in Champaign. That sounds to me like you're creating a new age penal system instead of actually seeking out to stop the shooters in different parts of the areas. And so again, it's a superficial and disingenuous way and an insult to the people who have lost people to gun violence in these areas, because we need real solutions that involve public safety investigations where the people have the voice in determining how we protect ourselves.
Let's listen to one more clip from that forum. This is Urbana Police Chief Bryant Serafin speaking. Again, this was last Thursday.
I will never stand before a group like this and say it'll solve all these things and our numbers are going to drop by 40%. But what I will say is it's a goodness of the tool that we have, and it doesn't care what color you are. It simply takes an image of the back of the car.
Okay, so I mean, Kadeen, I guess the chief there is basically saying that these readers don't see color, they see cars, right? What do you have concerns that this technology would not be colorblind, as the chief was suggesting?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I heard from a proposal was that it would essentially create a moat around communities of color. So the idea being that that's where a lot of the violence is happening, that's where a lot of who they believe the perpetrators, where they come from. So I do think while it may just see the license plates, where you put them makes a difference, and who you follow up with makes a difference, and who you're searching for makes a difference. And these devices tend to be used in communities of color and Black communities that are already surveilled. Like you mentioned, the streetlight cameras that exist, those cameras tend to be in communities of color and not in other communities. So I do think that disproportionately the impact of that surveillance will be in communities of color.
And Gus, do you want to respond to what the chief there again said? This idea that it's just the car; it's not you know, sort of, it can be a sort of colorblind technology.
Well, again, this is the chief is stating inaccurate depictions of how these cameras have been used. And I thought Katie brought up some awesome points there, looking at what happened in the NYPD where they targeted Muslims in New York, and also this occurred in New Jersey. Then we talked about how, again, that's the thing about race that a lot of people don't seem to understand, is that this country is so hyper-segregated, more so than it has been ever in history. And the data shows that this is a new nadir, the lowest point where Black and brown people are so segregated from white people that you don't have to install a color a reader on an ALPR. That because we are so hyper-segregated, you can put them in surrounding Black communities, particularly when you have a very busy and expanding central business district like we have in Champaign, because they're doing all of this excess construction and gentrification. But of course, you're going to want to put cameras in Black neighborhoods to, in other words, create this kind of fenced-off area of where we don't want you to go. The same thing occurred in Atlanta, where I was from. And so again, this is something that is not just a case study in Champaign or Urbana, but this is something that's occurring across the country as a way to disingenuously or superficially deal with the rising issues of violence related to political economy struggles, but also a way in which to curb the access and movement of Black and brown working class people from expanding spaces that are building towards a new type of accumulation of capital, which Champaign is one of the large, one of the fastest growing cities in the country right now in that particular vein.
All right. Gus Wood is professor in the School of Labor and Employment Relations at the U of I, also an organizer with the Ubuntu Project of Champaign-Urbana. We've also been speaking with Kadeen Bennett, Director of Advocacy and Intergovernmental Affairs with the ACLU of Illinois. Gus, Kadeen, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks so much.
And that is all the time we have for our program today. Before we go, I do want to urge you to join our texting group. We ask questions about our upcoming segments to our listeners, and we often share their feedback on air, as you heard today during our first segment. You can do so. You can join by sending the word TALK, T-A-L-K, to 217-803-0730, 217-803-0730. You can find that on our website, 21stshow.org, as well. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We will talk with you again tomorrow.